Here we go. Parshas Shoftim. Shoftim is one of the parshas in the Book of Bamidbar, which has a lot of mitzvos. And as a result, we have to, of course, pick and choose, as always. And so we're going to look at just a few of them. The main ones that we're going to look at are the stuff related to setting up a king. There's another thing related to the king, which is what he says about Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Lo Sita Lecha Sheirah Kol Eitz, because he makes a connection to the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, and then there's a comparison between the king and the Kohanim, which open up Perek Yirches, which I hope to look at, and the very end, which is actually the prelude to next week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha is Kisei Tzei, so in this Parsha you also have a Kisei Tzei, and the main reason why I chose the last two that I have here are because the Kli Yakar calls them both a Perush Yakar. And when he calls it a Perush Yakar, you know it's worth your time. Okay, so let's begin. The Parsha tells us about Shoftim v'Shotrim, judges and officers. You have to appoint the Chol She'arecha, Asher Hashem L'kecha Nosein L'cha L'Shvatecha. These are going to be essentially the leaders of your Shvatim. V'Shoftu Esa Amishpat Tzedek, and they're going to be judging, you have to judge righteously. Lo Satem Mishpat, Lo Sakir Panim, V'lo Sikach Shochad, Ki HaShochad Yaver, Enei Chachamim Yitzalek Divrei Tzedekim. So let's look at each of those phrases. Lo Satem Mishpat, which is, don't pervert judgment. Lo Sakir Panim, you don't respect someone's presence. In other words, don't play favorites. V'lo Sikach Shochad, and don't take bribes. Why? Because what's the problem with the bribes? Ki HaShochad Yaver, Enei Chachamim, it blinds the eyes of the wise. And makes just words crooked. Right? You don't hear it. Once you say, oh, this guy gave me money, well, this guy's going to do me a favor, therefore, I'm not going, therefore, it's very nice what you say, but my mind's already made up. So that's the problem with bribes. And by the way, it's even when you don't take a bribe, I learned this. I had a situation where somebody in the neighborhood asked me to moderate like a machlokas, like a minor monetary dispute. I think that was somebody. No. Oh, you know about it. Yeah. So, but you know, when you know people, you take a side. I tried to be objective. I don't know that I actually was. You do your best. What can I tell you? Nobody was paying me anything, so I definitely didn't take shochad. But anyway. Okay, so let's take a look at Kli Yakar. So just in Pasuk Yitzhak, I just wanted to show you one thing. Lo Satem Mishpat, Lo Sakir Panim, Lo Sikach Shochad. So he points out, Lo Ka'amar, Lo Sakir Panim Bivav. So again, I'll note it to you in the Pasuk. Lo Satem Mishpat, Lo Sakir Panim, Vilo Sikach Shochad. Okay, so he says, V'amar, Vilo Sikach Shochad Bivav. So the third one is mentioned with a Vav, and Shemamina, Shelo Sateh, Lo Sakir, Kol Echad Mil Sabi'api Nafshi. That the first two, not to pervert judgment and not to play favorites, Lo Sakir Panim, those stand of themselves, and of course actually the Trump more really reflects that because there's an esnachta on Lo Sakir Panim. However, Aval Lo Sikach Shochad Tolados Shel Lo Sakir Panim. The idea of not taking bribes is actually directly connected, meaning it's Lo Sakir Panim V'Lo Sikach Shochad. Those two are, there's a connection between them. Okay, we might normally say that they're, how do you separate? When you say one, and then you say, and there's this one, and there's this one, and you say that those are all three separate things. He says, no. The way that the Torah is depicting it, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but it's lo satem mishpat, that's one. Lo sakir panim, that's two. But lo sikach shochad, that's attached to lo sakir panim. Okay, in other words, taking bribes directly influences Hakaras Panim, playing favorites because of the bribes. Whereas Lo Satem Mishpat just means in no matter what the situation, you have to judge it properly. Don't mess around and do things which are incorrect in terms of how one goes about doing din. Okay. Next, Lo Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Lo Sita Lecha Ashira Kol Eitz, Eitz El Mizbach Hashem. Okay, keep reading. Let's just look at, we'll point out all these. And so first is, don't plant an Asherah tree. Okay, next, don't make a matzeva that Hashem hates. Pasuk Aleph, don't bring as a korban an ox or a sheep that has a mum in it, etc. Okay, so those are three things. Now that is added to the ones which we saw before, right? How many loaves did we have before? Pasuk Yutes, we had loaves satam mishpat, loaves sakir panim, loaves sikach shochat. So altogether, we have six negative instructions. Pasuk Yutes has three, and then pasuk Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, and Aleph each have one. You see it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we look at the Kli Yakar. The Midrash Amru. There were six steps on Shlomo HaMelech's throne, and each one had another one of these lows inscribed on it. Okay, he just explains all of them down to the towards the end of the third line. And anybody who's at least a bit intelligent is going to look and say, okay, I mean, fine, I understand some of these, but Ma'inyan lo tizbach v'lo sakim v'lo sita. The key says Shlomo Asheru Chan LaMishpat. You know, you want to tell me that a king who's supposed to be a judge shouldn't take bribes and shouldn't, like, so the ones in Pasuk Yutes, I understand. Don't mess up judgment. Don't take favorites. Don't take bribes. Of course, those should be on the steps. Shlomo HaMelech is going up to his throne. He should look there and be reminded. But the idea of not planting an Asherah tree and not putting up a matzeva and not sacrificing to Hashem an animal that has a blemish, what does that have to do with judgment?
He says,
yeah, it seems to not make any sense. There seems to be no connection with the Mizbeach and judgment. What's the connection? He says, I'm going to show you that it is connected. How? K'derach she'amru, as the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, k'shem she'beis din menukim hayu b'tzedek, kach hayu menukim mimun. That the members of the Beis Din, one of the criteria for being on the Sanhedrin was that you could not have a mum. Shenemar kulach yafa rayasi umum ein bach. Shir Hashirim says you are all totally beautiful. You do not have any blemish. Now we can get into a whole conversation about, you know, is a mum a metaphor? Is it literal? Of course, when it refers to the Kohanim and Emor, when it talks about all the things, mm-hmm. when it talks about all the things, airplane mode. Okay, good. When it talks about all the things which are right, so it's of course physical, and I don't think that the mikra is yotze midei pshuto when it comes to that. I mean, that's some shot. That's what it means. So and presumably it's the same thing for the Sanhedrin. I mean, I know that's the Gemara's intent, that the Sanhedrin members have pretty interesting criteria, which I don't want to get into now. But the point is that there's this connection between the Mizbeach and between the members of the Sanhedrin or the Beis Din, in that they're not allowed to have a mum. V'yadua she'en l'chadavar abba b'kabbalah, she'en l'smach min ha-Torah. And you know that there's nothing that appears in Kabbalah which doesn't have at least a hint to it somewhere in the Torah. K'divrei Torah midivrei Kabbalah lo yafinan. We don't learn Torah from Kabbalah, but we do learn Kabbalah from Torah. V'yechem lamdu l'marak min ha-Torah she'a Sanhedrin tzrichen l'yos nekiyem mikom mum. So where do you know from the Torah that the Sanhedrin cannot have a members of the Sanhedrin cannot have a mum. Alvadai l'pishe kol modim afilu man delo darish smuchim mikoma kol mishnah Torah kol darish smuchim. So that when it comes to the Book of Devarim, there you can certainly learn that. V'imkain l'mayin afkamina nismuchu shish lavin halalu. So he says, so what's the connection? They make these six lavin, the six lows that are all on Shlomo Melech's throne, on the steps leading up to his throne. El Lomalcha, Shekulan Tuluyin V'Yoshev Al Kisei Din. That they're all connected and referring to somebody who sits on the chair of judgment. Lolachinam Amr Torah, Shia Makum Yeshivas the Sanhedrin and Eitzel Mizbeach. It's when the Torah says that the Sanhedrin is supposed to be near the Mizbeach, that wasn't for naught. It's not just random, it's not haphazard. El Vanda Kidei Lil Mod Zemizah. That one has to learn from the other. Anything that would be puzzle can't be brought on the Mizbeach. Also, that would be a deterring blemish from allowing a member of the Sanhedrin from actually being a member of the Sanhedrin. Okay? So, right? Since it says regarding karbanos, they go on to the Mizbeach, that there can't be any mum. Kishem sheposel hamum bekarbon, kach posel hamum gam Sanhedrin. Right, a blemish prevents an animal from being a karbon. It also prevents a person from being a member of the Sanhedrin. He called mum chitzoni. Now he gets into something which, you know, I would suppose that modern, you know, our modern world and the sensitivities which we have, we would take issue with. But who knows? Who knows? I'm not going to pick sides here. I'm just going to present what he says. But he says, kikol mum chitzoni, migale ezora anisteres besocha guf, bein adam bein behema. Okay. But now again, what does he mean? I don't know. He says that every external blemish reflects something which is a blemish on the inside. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that a person's bad? I don't know if that's a fair statement to make. I don't even know if that's what he means. But he's saying that there's something internal which is.
He said this before. He's made this comparison.
Yeah, he's going to say. He said, I talked about this in Emor, obviously, because that's where the Kohanim are. Okay? Right, but in the Kohanim, it was a much, much different story. Anyway, the Kachne Marba Behema called of Ara. So that's why it also says not just mum. Mum is blemish, but mum doesn't indicate anything that's bad about you. You have a wound. You have a, I don't know, whatever the blemish is. But that's why it also says kol davara, anything which is bad. And for an animal, it's referring to an internal. What's the bad? Not that it's like a bad animal that needs a patch. It's a bad animal that it has a flaw in it. And so the external blemish tells us about something which we otherwise couldn't see. Because for Lana Torah, Kadeh Lugalas Tama Mumma Posagam Sanhedrin, Gemma Machitza Niyotzim and Ashurish, Hore Rosh Lana, Kadesh Prashan Lal, Barchazam, Bepasu Mumbo Ayen Sham. Right, so we talked about how Mumbo means that there's Mum in the person. We didn't talk about a physical blemish, but we talked about how there's something tainted about that individual. And he says the same thing applies to somebody who's going to be in the Sanhedrin. Derech Mashal, Imu Iver Me Ino Achas, Yadanu Bo Ki Ashochad Garam Lo. He said one example that he gives a parable to, that if somebody is blind in an eye, we know that why did he get blind? Because he accepted bribe. Imu Puseach, Yadanu Shiraglo Lom Dom Mishor, Utsolea Uposeach Al Shtesifim, Mechin Kol Mumim. And if he has some type of, he's lame in some way, it's because he uses feet improperly. Yeah, I don't know that modern Musser would necessarily promote such a notion, but clearly this is a tradition which he's not just pulling out of nowhere. Pesach Amr Kishem Shetzrichim Lios Menukim Etzedek, etc. So the idea that they need to be clean in their righteousness, they also need to be clear of mums. Lama Tolu Yamum Betzedek. So why is the mum connected to righteousness? Elavada Lefisha Zet Tolu Bezet. The mum is indicative of some type of mess up with the righteousness. The kach samach pasuk losis bach, the pasuk tzedek tzedek tirdof. What's the how far does it say? How far is tzedek tzedek tirdof? The man tichiyav yarashta asaritas pasuk chaf. And how far you go from there until losis bach? It's just two psukim away, one small paragraph in between them to show you that the mizbeach and the chasing after tzedek, those are connected. Yeah, no, there's a two pasuk break in between them, but they're very close. Here's tzedek, forget about the parak breakdown doesn't matter. No. Yeah, the parak breakdown doesn't matter. It's these spaces that matter. So between pasuk chaf, right after pasuk chaf, that space before chaf alf, so chaf alf and chaf bez, there's a couple lines, and then you have, but in other words, they're very close to each other. No, you're right, of course, but what's in between? These things which are all, he's making the argument, they're all connected.
Right,
they're all connected. So it's a bridge. Right. Okay, Uchashem Sham is Be'ach, Yitzarach Leos Minavonim Harbei, V'lo Matzeh V'Seven Achas, Kach HaSanhedrin. And just as the Mizbe'ach, as we know from a couple places in the Torah, is supposed to be made out of a number of stones, so too the Sanhedrin can't be just one, it can't be, the Mizbe'ach can't be one stone, the Sanhedrin can't be just one person. Ki Ein Dan Yechidi El Echad. Only one can judge alone. Who's the one? Rabbanu Shlom. Akeinu Ayu Sanhedrin Srichim Lios Rabim. And that's why the Sanhedrin need to be a lot of people. Can't you? Malanim Shalul Abne Nezer. Rabbi Mekomos Mikra. Okay, because the great ones are compared to these. Avnei Nezer. Akach Haya Kasuv Al Kisei Shlomo. Lo Sakim Lecha Matzeva. And so there's the connection to not making a Matzeva. Because what's the definition of Matzeva? One stone. One stone. So you don't make a matzeva, and that's something which. So in other words, Shlomo, yes, you are the wisest of people, and you are clearly a shofet. And a shofet, there are circumstances under which a shofet can act alone. But when it comes to certain cases, you don't act alone. Okay. Well, asherah, and with reference to not planting the asherah tree, Darshu Kalamamid Dayan Sheino Hagun Kilo Notea Ashera. If the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that if an improper judge is appointed, it's as if a tree for idolatry, an Asherah, has been planted. And if there's a Talmud Chacham around, then it's as if that tree has been planted next to the Mizbeach. Right? You know, especially in the time when there isn't the Mizbeach. This is another theme that he likes to bring up, and you know, rightfully so. Okay, and this is a tremendous warning about haughtiness. God did not want a mizbeach covered with gold or covered with silver. He wanted a mizbeach made out of earth. Hamora al geder hanava, which reminds everybody. If to serve God you're using the lowliest thing, then what should you be when you're serving God? The lowliest thing.
Is that where Indiana Jones they got it from? Where he picked up not the gold one, the silver one, he picked up the plain looking one?
No.
Is it from here or no?
Oh, you're talking about the cup?
Remember the cup?
I thought you were talking about the switch. With
no,
the
not lime. The switch. I'm talking about the cup. So is this where they got it from?
The line was, that's not the cup of a carpenter.
Yeah. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay. Okay. V'chazal amru, hagas libo behora, shote rasha v'gas ruach. It's somebody who's haughty
in his teaching?
No, hora means paskening. And he's a shite, he's a fool, he's wicked, and he's just a haughty, you know, dude. The commotion MR, Hidrachan Aviv HaMishpat, and who bring the straight justice? Anavim. Anavim with a vav. What's an anav with a vav? The humble people. V'tamal shel davar zeh, erach l'mal, parshas Mishpatim, al pi HaMidrash asher, tuva, turn the page, b'yalku parshas zo, apasuk shoktim v'shokrim. Okay, so he says, you know, and that's the key idea. And where do we get it from? The Al Shemoni talks about this in this parsha. Mashal Mel Shaiva Pardis Noah, Bahayu Ben Katan, etc. And where there's a parable about a king who has a Chabusham, Itanu Biur Yakar Mujerzeh, Amez Davarzesh, Agasis Ruach Mikalkel, Kaladinim. I don't remember that Mujer, and I didn't have time to look it up. But he says that Gasis Ruach, haughtiness destroys any type of din. And where does the mess up of judgment come from? It comes from judges who are appointed in order to be, look at this, shevach, praised, osher, and to become essentially very happy, on account of the way that their hearts are lifted up, or the hearts of their relatives who are essentially honored on account of the position that this fellow has. It's like the first family, right? This is the family of the Dayan. Ooh, the Dayan's wife, the Dayan's kid. So that is improper, okay? And that is a different, that's Gassas HaRuach. So what is that called? Mamidin Ashera Zo, Kadesh Yeh, Me'ushar, okay, so in other words, this kind of happiness which they have is really a reflection of Asherah, that there's a worshipping of some kind of something which shouldn't be worshipped. Anybody who's haughty should be, you know, I mean, I don't want to say destroyed, but to be knocked down to size like an Asherah. Those who built the Asherah tree and those who benefit from its shade, only to be cut down. So if it's a scholar who puts it there, or if it's a scholar who's there, then it's as if the Mizbeach is next to the Sanhedrin. So, and then look at this. This is just a classic. Udorenu. And in our generation, how many Asherahs? He doesn't mean trees for idolatry, literally. Yeah. He says, how many people are like this? The people who do not honor the Talmud Chacham properly, or if there's a Talmud Chacham, I don't go to that guy for advice, for questions, etc. Cases, people are going to go to their relative or somebody who's going to be helping them out rather than to pursuing proper justice. And you know what they call this in Israel today? Protectia. Okay? Okay, protectia.
Yeah.
Which in some ways you need it, but not when it comes to law. Like, yeah, sometimes you need protectia to get a job. Okay, different kind of conversation. Here it's talking about people who are gaining tremendous kavod on account of position or account of relation to that, and and it ends up being deleterious to the community and the society. Says this is something a lot of people just haughty, pursuing position, etc. For the sake of the Zera Avraham, Ace the Katzer, we gotta stop this. He says, so, but even though that's a problem, I had a very nice interpretation on these six lavin, which I'm very happy that I shared with you. Okay, but the point is, what was the great shot that he had? That the things related to Mizbeach and Avodah Zarah, they're related to Din. In other words, through the Shlomo HaMelech steps to show you that it's haughtiness which allows a person to violate all of these. Okay, haughtiness in terms of justice, disregarding tzedek tzedek yerdof, right, pursuing justice, and in terms of bringing a person up and basically turning themselves into an idol. That's a tremendous problem. Even though nobody's worshiping them, but they view themselves as important. And it's this idea that you think you're a somebody when you're not a somebody. Bottom line is, you're not a somebody. You could be the biggest scholar, but when you think you're a somebody, like you think Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was a somebody, right? Right? It's like Marlon Brando said on the waterfront, "I could have been a somebody instead of a bum." Okay, anyway. It's a classic. Okay. Alright, so that's the end of that. We're going to move now to the question of Som Tesimul Lachamelech. So now we got to turn the page. Got to read it inside. Okay, let's turn the page to Shani. Yeah. 1028. Yeah, 1028. Page 1028, Pasuk Yudalet. Okay? Look inside. Ki Savo El Haaretz. When you come to the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lach, that Hashem is going to be giving to you. For your shta, you inherit it, you shav tova, and you settle in it. The amarta, and you're going to say, Asima alai melech kachol agayim asher sviyo osai. Now that's the question. Is the amarta Hashem saying that this is what's going to happen? Or Moshe saying? Or is it like a command? Okay, so that's one of the questions which he says he's not going to get into per se. Like, is it that you have to make a king? Or is it that if you want to make a king, here's how to do it? Okay, and those who codify the mitzvahs of the Torah have they debate about that. Okay, but let's take a look, careful look at the language. Via amarta, you're going to say asima alai melech. I'm going to place a king upon me, kechol agayim asher sviyosai, like all the nations that are around me. Then what do you do? Som tasim alach amelech asher yichar Hashem lekechbo. Then you have to place upon you a king. Excuse me, that Hashem chooses. Mikar v'checha tasim alecha melech. Note how it keeps on saying al, alai, alecha, etc. So it has to be of your brothers. In other words, can't be a non-Jew, can't be a woman. Lo suchal lo seis alecha, ish nachri asher lo achichu. Rak lo yabel lo susim. There are three rules in particular that he needs to follow. Can't have too many horses. Can't, because he would bring everybody back to Egypt. He can't have too many wives, because they may turn his heart away from God, and he cannot have too much money. Okay, and then it describes how when he's sitting on his throne, he has to study this book, the book of the Mishneh Torah, which is referring to the book of Devarim, maybe all the Torah, and then he will learn, he'll teach his own children, for example, to be those who are God fearing, etc. Okay, and the last pasuk is that we don't want his heart to turn away from his brethren and from the mitzvahs, that he should merit to have a good life. Okay, so the Kli Yakar asks just a very simple question. Rabbi Momrim, Miyarenu tov biyur maspik ala safek agadol anafel mitzvazo, shema yerotzan Hashem shil letzedek imloch melech kishe yechavtsu ha'am imkein laman nisraim aleyhem shmuel anavi. So he says, if it's actually a pasuk that the people are supposed to appoint a king, and how come when it comes time, people ask Shmuel for a king, Hashem gets angry? Okay? Or why does Shmuel rather gets angry? Hashem imo, and Hashem agrees with him. Kishishalu lahem melech, mashma shayidavar nita b'ni Hashem. When they ask for a king, it seems that it's not something which God wanted. V'yeshom rim shataromis hayal shamu l'shavtenu, kechol agoyim sheishpot osam b'ni musei agoyim. Okay, what's the difference? What should they have asked? They should have asked for a king aleinu. And what do they say? They ask for a king l'shavtenu. Okay? So there's a difference between having one on us and li. It's not actually what they say. They say sima lanu melech l'shavtenu. That's what they say. Sima lanu melech l'shavtenu. And sima lanu means for us. As opposed to aleinu, which means upon us, above us. And that's the difference. That's the difference, and that's the thrust of what he says here. V'yeshom shaparshazo, chain parshazo mitzvah, elodas from shakadosh baruch ma'agad nereishis achar shakafi v'akshu Yisrael l'asid v'yitir l'ayam Hashem. Okay, so I mentioned that before, and he mentions how the Abravanel actually strengthens that argument, and or goes to it at length, which is that when the people are going to want a king, so God tells them how to do it, but it's not that it's a mitzvah that you must have a king. Okay, so we're not going to get involved in that machlokas. We're going to see how he explains it, especially insofar as the story of Shmuel plays into how we understand this instruction. V'yomer ani dati b'ktzara, sheharatzono Elohi haya shel tzedek imloch melech aleihem kedei lahatil mora'o al kulam. He says that my understanding is that the king's job is to be aleihem, above them, and to judge righteously, and that he should put the fear of heaven in them. I remember the Mishnah Avos says that you have to pray for the peace of the government, because if you didn't have fear of the government, people would eat each other alive.
Anarchy.
Right, exactly, anarchy. Okay, can you imagine a world in which people didn't have to pay for the crime of murder? It'd be a lot more rampant. Right. Okay, so it's not set up justices. You set up courts, of course. But what's the point of having a king? That to fix up the medinos, in other words, to create a kind of infrastructure that the Beis Din is not going to do. What did God want? He wanted there to be a fear of heaven. A fear of heaven there. A fear of Malchus, because that keeps the people grounded when they have a king that they look up to. And the king, of course, if he's the model citizen, as he's supposed to be, a model Jew, so that's how you keep Yerushalayim going. Moshe told Yehoshua, you're going to bring the people into the land. Okay, so in other words, Moshe gave Yehoshua instructions in terms of how he's supposed to rule over the people. Because after inheriting and settling, Yishurun is going to become fat. They're going to become lazy. They're not going to follow the Torah. People are going to do whatever they want, right? Anarchy when there isn't a king in Israel. Right, people are going to say, well, it says you're supposed to make yourself a king. That fear of him should be on me. That's what the word alai means. Lashon alai means it's going to be on me. Kichayim mash lashon alai. Sheye elyon alai, that he should be above me. Umoshel, v'rodebi, v'chezkas hayat. and that he should rule over me and power over me. K'chol ha'goyim asher sivusai, just like the nations around me. La'asos k'misukanim shebehem she'enem bo'atim malcheim u'mekabim aleihem. Maros Mesius Manedi Yochiach. So what are they asking for if they say make a king over us? They want to be like everybody else. She says, if indeed you're taking a king and the king is going to be Olecha above you, what does that represent? It shows that you also have emas of God, you fear God. So that's good, that's fine, that works. But if that's not going to be the case, then there's a problem in your request to have a king. So this is the key that you were asking at Eli. But in the times of Shmuel, they didn't ask why. They didn't ask properly. Because they said, Tana lanu melech. Give to us a king. And lanu is not the same as aleinu. Lo amru aleinu melech. Ela lanu. They didn't say, place a king above us. They said, give us a king. Ki lo ratzu lekabel moros sheyeh moro'o aleinu. Right? We'll be our own men, we'll be our own people, we'll make our own rules, we'll be in charge of our own destiny, it's our own fate, it's our own destiny, no problem, we don't need the king. Okay, in other words, Lanu, it's for us to decide. Me, Sheilaism, I'm the one, I know, me. Okay, so... And the point of this is that against his will, he is going to try to flatter us. Right? Yachnif lanu. In other words, he will be subservient to us. In other words, what do you call that in modern parlance? He'll be a puppet. He'll be a puppet. If the king's going to be a puppet, is that the king that God wants? No. No, he's not a puppet. He has to be a man on his own. Well, that's why they said, Lishoftenu, to judge for us, like all the other nations. Right, in those days, think about it. What's the life expectancy of a king? Well, it depends.
Not too short.
Well, it depends. It depends on if he rules with an iron fist or if they come and assassinate him. No, in all seriousness. How many kings in the history of the world were assassinated?
Just about all.
Plenty. Okay, plenty. Plenty of kings. So you think you're so powerful until somebody comes along and kills you, then you find out you're a human too. Okay?
David's king for a while, right?
Yeah, well, David was not assassinated, but there were attempts on his life from his own children.
Right,
yeah. Okay, so right. I mean, it's just the story of the world. So anyway, so anybody who's afraid that people might assassinate him, you know, they're going to be a little more careful. Either they're just going to be puppets and they're going to let other people control them, or they're going to have to rule with an iron fist. But even so, even those who rule with an iron fist, all it takes is one guard to turn around and kill them, and that's the end of that. So if they want to live, then they have to behave a certain way in some cases. Okay? So if the king is lanu, for us, and not aleinu, above us, where we honor and we respect and we revere him, then there's that distinction which you have. And so when they were asking for a king lanu, that's why Shmuel got upset. What do you mean lanu? Aleinu, that's what God said. That's what it says in the Pesukim. Yera davar b'nei Shmuel, kasher amru, tana lanu melech. The fact that they asked for us, so now on the top of the next page, and I skipped a lot here, I know, but I just, because he brings a lot of proofs from the Pesukim in the book of Shmuel. And if you look at Shmuel Aleph, prakim ches through your days, you see this over and over again, where every time they say lanu, Shmuel's like, no, melech yeh aleichem, because there's that difference, lanu versus al. And so he brings a lot of those proofs. I didn't want to get bogged down in it. We don't need all of them because the point remains the same. When they finally realize what they did wrong, they say, we made a mistake because we asked Lanu a king. We asked for Lanu. What should it be? So they wanted to say that we asked for a king, they wanted to say, oh, we got it, before the punishment was actually declared again. Okay, so the Kliyakar basically, that's the summary of that distinction that he makes between Aleinu and Lanu. Umash Ne'emar, Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel, Shema B'kolam, so when it says there that that Shmuel is told by God to listen to them and to appoint a king, it should say v'hemlachta aleihem melech. You should do above them. L'fisha kabbalah samora toliv mekablim v'lo Hashem po'al zos elanos an lehem melech shayishav lehem lebilti ruv levavo meyachav al kein amar b'shas ma'isel lehem. So in other words, it was almost like a slap in the face. The fact that when God says to them, to Shmuel rather, give Lahem a king, give Lahem, what do you mean Lahem? That's what you're going to do? And the answer is, yeah, well, you get what you ask for. So what do you find about Shaul? Even though he started off awesome, he was considered to be the best of the best at the time. But what's his end? His end was he was a king for the people, and he lost control. He lost everything. I mean, in his death, he was heroic in many ways.
But he wasn't king then.
Was he shot died? A bunch of arrows at the end of the day? And then he told his servant to kill him?
He was hit in the battle on Gilboa, yeah.
But was he king at the time?
Oh, yeah, he was king.
He killed all the Kohanim, but towards the end, he lost it, didn't he? He killed all the Kohanim.
Yeah, he killed the Kohanim because he was pursuing David. It's a longer conversation. Okay. Yeah, but anyway, Avam Mikol Makom Yisrael Lo Yenachon Lomar Kain Ki Im Kadavar Kedvar Hashem Shamar Yamar To Asima Alai Melech Kacha Yelam Lomar. In other words, the big issue was that they didn't say Aleinu, they said Lanu, and that was the problem. Okay, how much time do we have? 6 minutes.
8 minutes.
7 minutes. All right, seven minutes, which is 6 minutes. All right, so let's. I don't know. Do we want to do a Perush Yakar? let's do a Perush Yakar. Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess we'll just do the last one. We'll do the last one. Okay, it's the shortest one, so we'll do that one. Okay. All right. So this is what? Which parak is this? Parak Chaf Pasuk Gimel. So let's just look at it in the Chumash. Did we get it right? Perchav. Okay. So we learn about the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. Okay? Ki Seitzela Milchama Loivecha. Of course, this parallels the beginning of next week's Parsha, when you go out to war, and you're going to see a nation, an enemy nation with horses and chariots. Don't be afraid of them, because Hashem, who took you out of Egypt, He's going to be fighting for you. V'haya, when you get close to the battlefield, and the Kohen who goes out to war is going to speak to the people and say, Shema Yisrael, which of course is reminiscent of Shema Yisrael, okay? You're going out to war against your enemy. Don't have a weakened heart. Don't be afraid. Right? In other words, don't falter. You're going to do well. Why? God, He is going to lead you in battle, and so you're going to be fine. Now look at Kliyakra. Shema Yisrael, Perish Rashi. The idea of Shema Yisrael being reminiscent of Kriya Shema is to show us that if that alone is your merit, you're going to be fine. Okay? Atu Kriya Shema Milsa Zudrasi. You think Kriya Shema is a small thing? That's the first message. Yalzed darshu chazal. Take a look at the last paragraph in the packet. Yalzed darshu chazal. Kechayim yodim sheyamusu. Elu atzadikim. The Gemara in Brachas, and quoting the Gemara, quoting the Pasuk in Kohelet, says that the living know that they're going to die. These are the righteous. Ratzel amar sheyodim sheyamusu. So what does it mean that they know they're going to die? That they literally understand what this means. Okay? Yalkein zicharon Yom Amisa Tamid Leneged Enehem. Says, what's the difference between the righteous and the non-righteous? The righteous are aware that there is an end. And so they say, well, if I have an end and I'm going to get to a certain point where I'm going to die, I'm going to live my life in a certain way. And that prevents them from sinning. The Hamesim, Okay, he doesn't need the people who are dead, but the people who are the living dead. Okay, in other words, people who don't have a goal in life. And Mason Ain Yadum Meuma. The Mason, those who are the living dead, they don't know anything. Elar Rishayim, Shevachayim, Krui Mason. These are the wicked ones who in their lifetimes are called dead. Genevar, Etachal Rasha, Sherba, Yomo, Beis, Avon, Gates. Okay, it's Pasuk Yechezkel, which just talks about that idea. Ratzalamar. Harishayim Ainim Yodim Uma. It's the wicked people who don't know anything. The idea of the day of death is meaningless to them. It's never before their eyes. They don't think about it. There's no planning. There's no thought. Not in terms of financial. Of course, people buy life insurance. People, you know, they make savings accounts. They want to give over to their children. That's a different thing. So you can do whatever you want with that. That's fine. But what about your own life? Where's the meaning in your own life? So he says these are the living dead.
Because
of the sin, which is his own demise, because he wasn't thinking about his own end, the negative in of Klal, it was never in front of him. Lo David, it's not like David. David prayed and said, "God, let me know what my end is." Okay, Ella Kirvam Batima Lyal, right? Think about it. What does the Gemara tell us? But David said, "I want to know when I'm gonna die." God tells him when. So what does David do? He says, If I'm gonna die on Shabbos, I'm gonna do whatever it is, what am I gonna do every Shabbos? Yeah. I'm gonna study Torah the whole time. God can't take me while I'm davening, while I'm learning, while I'm davening, whatever. So but he said, if this is what my end is gonna be, I wanna do whatever I can to counter it. But there are plenty of people who don't think that way. David wanted to know. God couldn't tell him exactly when. Because then he knew that the devil would never die, but with the idea that you're at least thinking about it, and therefore living a life which says this is a goal of mine to get to a point where my misa is really a time of chayim, that my death is a time of the soul living and the soul reviving. That's something to aspire to. So when you look back in the pasuk and you say, look, what does it mean? I remember one of the stories I heard in the Second Lebanon War was about an army unit in the IDF who over the course of 2 days had four missions, and they said vidui four times. Okay, because they said, look, we don't know if we're gonna make it. Okay, so what is kisei tzeila milchama? Anybody who goes out to war, does everybody who goes out to war think they're gonna make it back? I mean, they all think they're gonna make it back, but people have to know. People think they have to know that there's a good chance you're not gonna make it back. And so when you go out to war, what are you thinking about? And his point is, I guess, that a person should minimally have tshuva thoughts at that point in time, but should just live a life in general where that's the attitude, that's the philosophy that guides a person in one's living, because it makes for a much more meaningful life than the person who never thinks about it.